Eric Satie, Jim Nepeti, number 3, played by Branford Marsalis on saxophone with the English Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Litton. And that's Saturday Classical for this week. I'm Jim Wiener. Thanks for joining me. Stay tuned now for Joel Block and Stardate, followed by the world premiere, the galactic premiere, the universal premiere of Brain Damage on 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Stardate January 2nd. Light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. That speed is special because it measures the same for everyone, no matter how fast you move relative to it. To see how strange that is, consider things moving at more ordinary speeds. Say you're standing still and a car comes toward you at 60 miles per hour. Then suppose you get in a second car and drive toward the first car at 30 miles per hour. The first car now seems to come at you at 90 miles per hour relative to your car. But light speed doesn't work like that. Light is never seen by any observer to speed up or slow down, no matter how fast he or she moves with respect to the light. Now imagine the two cars again, only this time say the first car is a light beam and the second is an ultra-fast rocket ship. The light beam shoots toward you at light speed, 186,000 miles per second. You now blast off toward it at a very high speed, say half the speed of light. You'd expect the light beam to seem faster than it was before relative to your rocket, but it won't. No matter how fast you go, you'll see the light coming at you at 186,000 miles per second. Weird as it sounds, the constancy of the speed of light has been verified in many experiments as one of the foundations of Einstein's theory of relativity. We are Stardate, and we're very pleased to be heard on radio stations like WNYE-FM, New York, New York, and WAER-FM in Syracuse, New York. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin. Our zip code is 78712. Our writer and our producer is Deborah Bird. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Brain damage.
Rushing the efforts to think and harden.
Thank you.
Did you say 9?
Just hold on a second.
Now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
It's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, and if you are tuned to 90.1 at this time, then you've got brain damage. That's right, the new program, the new talk show of Saturday nights, it's Brain Damage. I'm Eric Corley, and with me here tonight is a special guest who flew all the way up here from Philadelphia, a Mr. Mike Juhas.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good myself. How was your flight tonight?
Let's be fair and not lie.
Okay, let's not lie.
I didn't fly tonight.
You didn't fly tonight. You flew last night.
No, I took the train yesterday.
You took the train yesterday. That's totally different.
Yes.
Couldn't get a flight, huh?
No, I didn't.
Well, that's sad.
Couldn't or didn't.
Well,
I'm not the only guest you have, though.
That's true. I was about to get to that. We also have Mr. Jim Weiner, who just did a very fine classical music program.
He played music of Eric Satie. What more could you ask?
Thank you. Not much more.
Thank you.
How you doing, Jim?
Nice. Okay, how are you?
Pretty good.
Welcome to Saturday night, and happy to have you and to have Mike here tonight.
Special occasion to have Mike come all the way back up here just to do a radio program.
The Amtrak fare was quite substantial. Who should I send the receipts to?
Well, we'll settle that later.
Okay, fine.
We don't need to do that over the air now, do we?
No,
perhaps one day we'll be able to do a program during a train trip, like the Today Show does.
Now, it's funny you should say that. Mike and I did do a program during a train trip a couple of years ago.
I didn't know that. That's when we went to Shelter Island.
We went to Shelter Island. We took the Long Island train out there, and we recorded quite a bit of it on tape recorder.
Yeah, the best part, if you permit me to tell...
Go right ahead.
...was on the way out how we recorded the sound of the train from the vestibule between the cars. And the clickety-clacks.
Clickety-clackety-clickety-clack, bung-bung, you know, all that stuff.
And on the way back, we played that tape in the train. And while the train was moving, nobody knew there was any difference. And so we placed the tape recorder underneath the seat in front of us, and the train stopped. But we were still making noise, and it created quite an uproar.
Well, a couple of people looked up, and they thought, well, perhaps I'm losing my mind at last.
But the one fellow across the aisle, though, he knew what was going on.
He saw exactly what we were doing.
He gave us a big smile. He was kind of beaming.
Yeah. Now, we should say at this point that this is a brand new show. We are just starting out. We don't quite know where we're going yet, but we're going someplace. And
yeah, well, we have 2 hours to do it.
We have 2 hours to do it, and we have all kinds of fun things coming up. But we should tell the folks that they're welcome to call up, too, as this is a semi-call-in show. You know, at least half of it, or maybe a quarter of it, will have to do with people calling us up. So, Mike, I believe you know what the phone number is.
Oh, yes.
I don't have that piece of paper in front of me.
Let me just check. See here.
You can always call information. I think they have it, too.
Yeah? You want to do that?
No, that's going to cost us a good amount of money if we do that.
Okay.
No, well, that's going to cost
right
me
one.
Something, too.
That's not the right one. Oh, yeah, here it is. 516-632-6900, and I just can't quite make out the last digit there. Is that one?
That is, I believe that's a one, yes. Now, let me just add there that the 516 is the area code. You don't need to dial that. And in fact, many places you can't dial that. It won't let you.
If you're on Long Island.
If you're on Long Island, so don't even try.
But don't call now, because we're talking.
Waste of time.
Yes.
Well, I mean, call. You can call and just let the phone ring, and that's okay.
We'll be sure to pick you up.
We'll know you're there, and then we'll know to go to the phone calls later.
Right.
So if you want to call, go right ahead, and we have plenty of open lines.
That number again is 516-632-6901.
90.1 is the last point there.
That's all you really need to know.
Now, Mike, how about...
Speaking about 90.1...
Okay, go ahead.
We were going to talk to Jim. That's why he's here. We're delaying him.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. Whatever.
Oh, okay.
Whatever a train of... well, I guess it's a bad pun here. But I guess whatever train of thought that you want to take, you can... If you want to mention something first, that's quite all right. Go right ahead.
Well, now, Jim has... A lot of our listeners might not know this, but Jim has been around since before the beginning.
Before we were 90.1 FM.
Sure, when we were 8:20 a.m.
Why don't you tell us something about those days?
We
could only be heard, I believe, on the campus. Some people
right.
tell me only in this building.
Sometimes, yes. We had a... well, I wasn't... This was even before my time. Around 1963, a number of students at the university decided that they would... try and put together a campus radio station with hopes of eventually having it be a station that broadcast to the off-campus area as well, which finally did come to be in 1977. But starting about 1963...
63?
Yes.
You weren't around back then.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't. There was a radio station that was started here that was heard only... in, I guess, the dormitories, and there were only a couple of dormitories at the time, just G-Quad and H-Quad, only a couple of dorm complexes, and what was done was a small studio was constructed in one of the spare utility closets in one of the dormitories, and although this may not be an exact history, but it pretty much is what ended up happening. There may have even been something before this, but basically at a certain point, it was a small studio in one of the utility closets that transmitted using very low-power transmitters that could only be heard in the dormitories. And eventually, this system was somewhat expanded when the studios were moved to the second floor of the gymnasium. And
moved to the second floor of the gymnasium from where?
From the one of the dormitories.
Well, from a dormitory.
Right. And
do you know which dormitory that was?
I believe it was G Quad. I'm not sure. This was definitely before my time. It was.
Uh-huh.
I guess it could have only been somewhere. One of the dorms in either G Quad or H Quad.
I'm just wondering if we can go there and find remnants of an old studio somewhere.
I don't. That's a good question. I really don't know. I guess you probably have to speak to. I don't know who you'd speak to about that.
Does anyone left to speak to it?
But when we moved to the gymnasium, and this was also before my time, before when the move actually took place, system was set up whereby the telephone lines from the telephone company were rented, which is what many radio stations have done over the years. Now they use microwave transmission, but for many years, many radio stations that were both just campus radio stations and also off-campus radio stations used telephone lines to take their signal from their studio to their transmitter, and which is what we did. We took the signal to these same low-power transmitters that broadcast on a frequency of 820 on the AM dial. And these were heard not only in the dorms in G and H quad, but eventually when other dormitories were constructed, other transmitters were installed in the other dormitory quads. And also, we broadcast through a line into the Union Building. So that was around the late 60s by that time. Then for a time, when the transmitters needed overhauling, we were broadcasting only into the Union Building, and I guess that's what you were making reference to there for that period of time.
Excuse me for one moment. I happen to notice that the emergency line is ringing. Now, that could only mean one thing. There is an old staff person.
It's an emergency.
Well, it could mean it's an emergency. I can't imagine what. this building already feels like it's on fire.
Maybe it's John emergency calling, right?
Now, it's probably an older staff member calling in
maybe
to either correct you on something or to
right
add their own comments on
sure
it. So I figure I've given enough time to warn the person that I'm about to press the button and put them on the air. Here we go, and you're on brain damage. Who is this?
Yeah, can I order a pizza to go with holding anchovies?
Well, you probably could.
I think you've got the wrong number. I spell my name Danger.
What?
Oh, yes, well done, well done. Well, this sounds like Rich.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Rich, how are you?
Oh, doing okay. I mean, I wasn't around then either, but I figured I'd throw a quick point here. It was in the basement of James College.
Oh, thank you.
Basement
and
of James College.
There's a small point in there.
No, it's an important point.
I don't know if you can still find the studios down there, but we do know that back in 1980, a large box of old albums and singles mysteriously appeared at the front door of the studio.
Hmm.
They had been doing some reconstruction work in the basement of James and discovered that we had left part of the record library there when we moved to the gym.
Oh, Mike's back.
How did we do that?
I'm sorry, what? How did we do that? What do you mean, how did we do that?
How did we leave part of the record library back there?
Well, apparently they were just records. I mean, there weren't any great finds in there. I mean, it was mostly Julius Rector records and things in that area.
That's a joke, I guess.
Jim will explain it.
Well,
in the future.
There's a rumor going around that in the mid-60s, there was a 4,000-hour Julius Wechter Baja Marimba Band Festival on WUSB, but I don't know if that's true.
Including numerous alternate takes.
Yeah. Yes. Many previously unheard takes.
And one thing that people don't really realize is that in the mid-60s, Julius Wechter did a large amount of recording with Philip Glass working with pentatonic marimbas. Which is an amazing series that they did for Nonesuch.
That's amazing. I think that was called, I think that Glass wrote a piece for that called Herb Alpert on the Beach, I think. I think that was performed.
Did anyone see, what's his name, Peter Shickley, Professor Shickley?
No, it was right after Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
It was at Carnegie Hall. I didn't get to see it.
He had something about someone on the beach. Another lost manuscript by P.D.Q. Bach.
No, it was Einstein on the Fritz.
On the Fritz? I'm sorry. I'm all messed up tonight. Well, no, I didn't see that. I saw him a couple of years ago.
Anyhow, I've completely derailed the conversation.
No, not at all.
Yes, you have.
No, I think it was quite an interesting addition. I'm glad you called.
We're glad you called, too.
So am I.
They don't want to tie up the lines yet. We're at the train puns over here, so rather than... Well, let's return you to your station in progress.
Thank you very much for calling.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Jim?
Yes.
Before we continue further.
Yes, sure.
You mentioned that you were broadcasting from the gymnasium before.
Yes.
Is that why, just prior to this program, just before, less than half an hour ago, you were playing Eric Satie's Three Gymnasiums?
Well, perhaps. Perhaps there was some subliminal effect taking place.
Three Gymnasiums?
I think he means Gymnopédie number 3.
Ah.
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
It didn't sound right somehow.
But,
Three Gymnasiums always sounded best.
Yeah, I think that would be, that if we could unearth that manuscript,
You must have an interesting story from, like, the very first day that USB went FM, or since we were about to go. How about that story where we just got the license or the okay for the license?
I'm sure there must have been jubilation and all sorts of
There must be some
celebrations
story
then.
Well, you see, that's probably a story better left to Norm Pruslin, because that strikes a familiar chord. Very familiar chord.
What was that, C sharp?
Yeah. I think C sharp and a few other chords. But I don't think I can do that story justice. Actually, I'm drawing like a semi blank. I know that there was some surprise involved, and I think Norm was directly involved in I guess saving the day, as it were. But so he would probably remember more of the story.
Norm, of course, is our general manager.
Yes. And, I hear the phone.
I see the emergency line ringing yet again.
Oh, my goodness. For the clarification.
Let's give this a try here. Hello, you're on Brain Damage. Who's this?
Is this Wojo's? I'd like to have the egg rolls with the shrimp in them.
Burger.
We're getting a lot of calls tonight, aren't we?
I think, again, you've reached the wrong number. This is Tire Biter Saloon. But would you like to order something else?
Yeah, how about a radio station?
Sounds good to me.
But
it has to be fixed first. The chief engineer around here at these places, boy, some of the stuff is in really bad repair.
Wait a minute, he can't hear you. You're in a different studio.
He's listening
to his radio.
Yeah, I have the story on receiving the telegram that we were FM.
Okay, that's Frank, our chief engineer. Were you here at the time?
Well, I had just started. I was at the station for about a couple of months, and we had had been applied for the license for the last couple of years, and there was word that we were getting the license, but we really didn't know exactly when we were getting the license. So I was in what was the old AM studio in the Union Building one day, and the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and it was the hospital calling, saying that they had had this telex that came in for us. And I said, "Yeah, that's weird," So I said, "All right, I'll go over there and see what it is." So I walk over there, and it's our permission to go on the air under what was called Program Test Authority, which, in other words, meant we were an FM radio station. And of course, I ran back and started screaming. And
that was the beginning.
I think by that time we were in need of a hospital.
The thing is, they had been holding this telegram for about a week. They didn't bother telling us about it. They decided to call us when nobody picked it up and said, "By the way, we have this telegram. I don't know if you want it, but it's from the Federal Communications Commission."
Which I think is a darn sight, even though it did create, I'm sure, a lot of consternation at the time. It was a darn sight better than the opposite taking place, which would be where we received some vital piece of information relating to some patient at the hospital, and we held on to it for a week.
Yeah, how do you like those
apples?
So we
could have called the hospital.
Now,
no.
We wouldn't have done
that. They wouldn't let us put the transmitter on top of the Health Science Center for fear of brain damage.
So actually, that's true. Mm-hmm. In a way, it's quite true that...
Here it is,
There it is.
That...
10 years later.
That there was, I think, some caution that we had to there was an embargo against putting it on top of the Health Science Center for a good reason, because it could have interfered, the transmission of the transmitter could have interfered apparently with things such as pacemakers belonging to the patients.
I think we should make sure before we make rash decisions, we should make sure and actually have an instance where it affects something. Otherwise, we're just basing our lives on theory. I like to base our lives on fact.
You see.
So if we, give some guy a heart attack someplace, okay, then we can say, all right, we did this. This way we're just saying, maybe we'll do this. And I don't like living a life of maybes.
But then we,
that's just the way I am.
I understand your point. The only thing that is we then have the bureaucratic problem of having to include, or the possibility of having to include, on the reports that we sometimes send to record companies, informing them of music that we're playing on the station to encourage them to keep sending us music product, the records that they produce, to show them that we do play the records. We'd also have to include, as well as the proportion of the different records that we play, we'd have to include things like EKG results and I don't know where that would fit in.
We need another computer for that. Well,
okay.
Well, thanks for calling, sir.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
Nice to be I was trying to come up with another train pun, but it didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Oh, chew. Well.
Thanks for riding with us, Frank.
Yeah, thanks for being on the train.
Make sure to discard your trash in the proper receptacles.
Okay.
And check the overhead.
He's gone. I just hung up on him.
For your personal effects.
He's gone. All right. So you can't think of any story to tell them.
Oh, I can, yes. A couple of stories that I remember that I find amusing. I hope some other people will find them amusing.
There's got to be something.
This took place during the so-called carrier current days of the radio station. That carrier current refers to the low-power broadcast, campus-only broadcast of WUSB in its 8:20 a.m. days. And different circumstances, not only technical but and programming, but also as far as regulation was concerned, were in effect then. We did generally make an attempt to try and run an efficient, responsible operation, but we weren't as tightly regulated as we are now by the FCC, as any radio station is that has a broadcast power above a certain
Well, we weren't
amount.
Technically over the air then. We were through
right,
the wires.
Right, exactly. So we were not under the FCC's jurisdiction. So certain regulations that apply now did not apply then.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst them, for one thing, that you didn't have to actually always be in the studio when the programming was on the air.
Uh-huh.
Now you actually have to be
at least within a mile.
Yes, at the very least, in order to monitor the how the transmitter is performing technically, and of course to make sure that there's a signal on the air. But in those days, if you left the studio, you weren't disobeying any law or regulation, although that wasn't encouraged. Sometimes that would become necessary. Now, that comes into play in one of my stories, both of which involve laundry.
Laundry.
Yes. The first story...
Well, I imagine being in a... Is this when we were still in a dormitory?
Well, not actually. This is when we had moved. By this time, this was the early 70s, we had moved from the gymnasium, our studios from the gymnasium, to the Union Building, to basically the premises that we currently occupy, but not quite the same premises. What we did at the time was we had the same arrangement as I described before, where we had lines running from the studio to the dormitories and to low-power transmitters.
These are phone lines, not clotheslines.
Right. I'm glad you clarified that. These are phone lines. One morning I guess it was 1971, I awoke to do a morning program on
Makes sense.
WUSB. Yes, it was. It was fortunately, at least the day began on a logical note. And I awoke rather early to begin with, because it was an early morning program, but I also awoke even earlier than I would normally have to in order to get over to the radio station, because I wanted to do a laundry. I wanted to catch the machines in the dormitory in the basement before other people began occupying them. It was a good time to do it. So I got my laundry together, and I got my detergent together, and I guess I must have not been aware that the detergent box had already been opened. So some of the detergent went spilling out onto my desk. And what I then did was I placed the box of detergent, I guess, on my chair and opened it wide enough so that I could then sweep the detergent on the desk back into the box. And I took a broom that my roommate and I had in our room. And by the way, my roommate was at the time asleep. And I hadn't awoken him with any of my movements, fortunately, but by coincidence, his alarm went off to wake him up as planned. Just at the moment that I was taking this full-size broom and bringing it down in the proximity of my desk and starting to sweep the detergent off the desk into the box of detergent, and most of it was going back into the box of the detergent, but some of it was flying around my head. So the first sight that my roommate caught when he awoke was fluffs of detergent flying around with my face kind of in the midst of it, and he saw me with a broom, vigorously whisking the broom up and down onto my desk, and it caught him quite off guard. He didn't know what to make of it. Shortly after that, I I finished what I was doing, and then I realized he had awoken, and he was just kind of looking at me stunned. And I explained to him what had happened, and then I guess I did my laundry, and then I went off to the radio station. And unfortunately, the problem with that was that I thought that I might have gotten some of the detergent into my sweater. So later on that day, when I was reading a newscast with a second person, when he was reading his portion of the newscast, I bent over to sniff my sweater to see if I could smell the, to kind of tell if the detergent was in the sweater. And he saw me doing this, so he, out of the corner of his eye, he's reading a very serious news story, and out of the corner of his eye, he sees me leaning over and sniffing my sweater. and he starts to laugh. See. And then, in order to help him recover, I tried to pick up with a news story, and then I realized what I must have looked like to him, and that started me laughing, and so we were both a couple of basket cases by that time. So that was the first detergent semi-disaster.
Gee, that sounds very familiar, Erica. Oh, it sounds like something we would do without having benefit of detergent.
Well, yes, I think whenever you have two people reading news, you know, within proximity of each other...
And yeah, very late at night after pizza.
After pizza and all kinds of other things, yes, it's quite possible.
Yeah.
Continue, Jim.
Well, okay, I was going to say, before I get to the second laundry story, this what you mentioned now about...
Second laundry story?
Yeah, no, there was a second story prompted by laundry.
Your life really revolved around laundry.
Very much so. Very much so. It was kind of, yeah, kind of a leitmotif, I guess you could say.
Whoops. Sorry.
Oh, I got the rinse cycle starting up there?
Never mind.
But this, talk about cracking up, even earlier than that, I had a problem with the laughter. Where I was going through a period of time where I was having trouble keeping from laughing whenever I would read a newscast. It was a big effort, and once or twice I was defeated by my own mirth. One day, this goes back to when we were in the gymnasium, the studio we were in overlooked the gymnasium. There was a little balcony off the studio, and we could open the door sometimes to get some air, which someone did one night. And I was sitting in the studio, and as I'm preparing to go on the air with a newscast, I hear the sounds of the gymnasium from below, the very normal sounds. In one part, there was a basketball game taking place.
Yeah.
Whistles were blowing, balls were bouncing. In another part of the gymnasium, there was a karate class, in effect, with all kinds of commands being shouted out. Quite the normal sounds and activities and voices that you would hear in a gymnasium, but not the kind of sounds you'd expect to hear on the radio, unless you were listening to a sporting event. And this was not going to be a sporting event, it was going to be a newscast. So when my mic was opened, I kept hearing these sounds in my headphones. And my mind started saying to me, well, if you can hear it, the audience can hear it, and this must sound very funny to them. You're sitting here reading the news, and they hear balls bouncing and whistles blowing and people shouting. And I must have gotten about three lines into the newscast, and I just became hysterical. And the only thing that I can remember with any clarity at all is that fortunately somebody had the presence of mind to pull the newscast out of my hand, pick me up, and gently deposit me behind an equipment rack in the studio where I was on my hands and knees trying to silently be hysterical, which is very difficult. Silent. It was kind of like silent sobbing, only I was laughing, and that person finished the newscast. But the second laundry story, if anybody is still awake out there, the second laundry, or if anybody hasn't run out to do their laundry in desperation.
Let me just interrupt you for a second and say that a very effective way of making newscasters laugh that I have found is to hold... are you familiar with the Pink Floyd album, Relics? The American version has this very bizarre face on it. And you just hold that up on a window where the newscaster is sitting innocently reading his newscast, and he'll look up and he'll see this goofy-looking face staring at him and smiling. And most newscasters, although I have met at least two that have not cracked under that pressure, but most of them will completely. I'm sure you could show that to Tom Brokaw or someone, and they'd be gone, too.
I hear that mooning is also very effective.
That's been done to me.
Much less imaginative, Mike. Much less imaginative.
I'm sorry. I've never done it, nor have I been the recipient. That's just hearsay, all I've heard.
Okay.
But the funny thing about what you mentioned about holding up the Pink Floyd album is that I heard an anecdote about a Pink Floyd recording session where in order to crack up Pink Floyd while they were recording, somebody held up a copy of a newscast, and they became hysterical.
Okay, you got
it. I don't understand the connection, but they became hysterical nonetheless. There's a lot of hysteria pervading our stories tonight. But second laundry story, this goes to about 1973, And this brings into play the regulations. You're not legally required with low power broadcast to be in the studio when you're in charge of a program. And this was another morning program that I was doing. And what had happened was I was doing the laundry early in the morning before heading over to the station to do the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I had finished the wash part of it, I had started the wash part of it and then realized I was running later than I had thought for some reason. So I realized I had to get on the air, so I jumped in my car and I drove from Kelly over to the Union Building, went upstairs and began the program. And about half hour into the program, I knew that my wash would be finished, and I didn't want to just leave it there in the machine, get in somebody's way, and have to be thrown all over the washroom. Someone else would have to use the machine, so I knew I should go back and put it in the dryer. So I put a long cut on, jumped in my car, and then went safely hightailing back to Kelly, put the wash in the dryer, and went back to the station, then did more of my program, then jumped back in my car, went back to the dorm, took the wash back out of the dryer. By the way, when I mentioned Kelly to people who might not be familiar, that's another dorm complex, and brought my wash up to my room, and then went back and was able to make it back to the studio, fortunately, because the cut of the record was long enough without the cut running out. Nowadays, I don't think we could do that.
They don't make cuts as long as they used to.
No, they don't. They don't.
And we're even much further away from the parking lot.
That's right. That's quite true. Wouldn't be as easy as it was then. Now, I guess that's not that. Now that I think of it, it's not that funny an anecdote. But it's you had to either be there or you had to be some of my laundry, I guess, to appreciate it. But that's just one of the random memories that come to mind, gliding through radio.
Wow.
And laundry.
Well, as you can probably tell, we have lots and lots of stories that we can tell about this radio station, about being on the air, about not being on the air, and we could just go on all night long with them. We're not going to do that, though. No, we're not. Are we?
We refuse.
Okay, we're not going to do that. But
as a public service, we will not.
But, Jim, I want to thank you for coming by and spinning these tales with us.
Thank you very much, truly. I very much enjoyed it.
Now, I believe, Mike, we have someone else to contact. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. Shall I make the call right now?
Let me just reach over and shake Jim Wiener's hand.
You're not supposed to shake the microphone.
Well, I just feel it's polite, that's all. Thanks for coming. And
thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. And
I think you should be saying thanks for staying.
Thanks for staying.
Oh,
that's
no,
true.
No.
Well, thanks for coming as well. You came and did your classical show, which, by the way, you'll be on again in, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yes.
3 weeks. Next week it's...
You know, I always mess up the
rotation. No one
knows. It's either going to be Valerie Wilcox or David Brown, and the week after that, if it was Valerie, it'll be David. If it was David, it'll be Valerie, and then
it won't be you.
But it won't be me.
It'll be you in 2 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
3 weeks from today.
That's correct. Okay.
That's right. But I want to wish you a lot of luck with the program. I think it's great.
I guess I feel another handshake coming on here.
Well, no, I've already done that. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I don't shake hands twice in one night. I just don't do that.
No, I think FCC law prohibits it.
But Mike, I think it would be appropriate if you shook Jim's hand.
Oh, okay. Here I come.
Jim, Mike's in the other studio.
Oh, okay. Here,
let me prepare
myself here.
Shake your hand. Here he is now.
Okay. Let's get the old triceps in order and biceps.
A lot of shaking going on.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Mike.
Good to
also
know. We're so friendly here.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Now, we are going to be talking to, I believe, is it a forest ranger, Mike? What is it?
Yes, he is a forest ranger.
Forest ranger.
In Kanawha County in West Virginia.
Now, I have to ask you a question here. Where on earth did you find a forest ranger?
He went to my elementary school with me.
Did he?
Yes,
and now he's in West Virginia.
He is now in West Virginia.
Is there any kind of background information you'd like to give us on him?
Yeah, he sent me a Christmas card this year that said, did you get the smoke from our forest fires in November?
I remember that.
And he said, if you did, then think of what we had to go through. And he was one of the folks fighting the forest fires in November. and I thought it might be interesting that we talk to him about fighting forest fires.
Oh, that
in Kanawha County in West Virginia.
Sounds like fun, unless he's fighting a forest fire at the moment, but I'm sure he isn't.
No, in fact, I spoke to him just moments ago.
Oh, okay.
And he is in his house anxiously awaiting our call.
Okay, now you're going to call him, and then...
I think that what I'll do is scoot in there. I'll put him on hold and scoot in there once I have him on hold.
Okay, and then we'll just sort of get him somehow from phone land and
I will change places with Jim.
Now, let me just say for the benefit of the people listening that we will be taking calls a little bit later on, soon. So our number is, once again, 632-6901.
Just hold on a second.
632-6901, area code 516. So give us a call. The show is Brain Damage on USB 90.1 FM. We've got all kinds of other fun things coming up. I assume Mike will be in here very soon. While he's getting in here, I've got a whole lot of news stories pulled here.
This is going to take me a couple of seconds because I have to access my long-distance carrier and all sorts
of
things.
Okay, no problem there, Mike. I'll just read this handy-dandy news item I have here in my hand all about this... plane, especially equipped $179 million doomsday plane. I don't know if people heard about this, but this certainly is an amazing thing. It was designed for the president to use in case of nuclear attack, and it was severely damaged when it flew into a flock of snow geese. That's according to a military spokesman. The military jet flew into a flock of snow geese and was severely damaged. Now, if you're interested in details, the geese were sucked into two of the plane's four engines, forcing the plane to land about 10 minutes after it had taken off from Offutt Air Force Base in Bellevue. That's right, Offutt Air Force Base in Bellevue, a suburb of Omaha. No one was injured. The modified 747 was about 1,200 feet off the ground when it encountered the geese. That was about a week ago. The pilots could not see the birds in the dark.
They say.
Is this him on the phone now?
Uh-oh. Disappeared.
Do you think he hung up?
Yeah, he might have. Let me try him again.
Okay. A forest ranger that hangs up. What do you think of that, folks? Well, let's go over the weather. This is what we do when we have a couple of seconds to kill, which is what we do. -1 degree Celsius. That's, what is that on Fahrenheit? It's 30 degrees on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting mostly clear conditions tonight. Lows 15 to 20. And if anyone's interested... Let's see what the temperature is in this room. It's 28 degrees Celsius. That's, oh my lord, 82 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, well, just figured that might be a good contrast there. But it's going to be 15 degrees outside, and I can tell you where I'm going to be later. Sunny and cold tomorrow, and then clouding up during the afternoon. High will be in the mid-30s. For tomorrow night, snow, or a mixture of snow and rocks, slightly after midnight. Low around 30. That's what it says. Snow and rocks. I'd stay indoors tomorrow, folks, tomorrow night. Chance of this, in quotes, precipitation is 70%. And is there a newscast, perhaps? Gently tapping over the teletype now, because I would like to update people on news. News is very important, and so few of us really know what the news is, whether the news is good, whether the news is bad. Nobody really knows. Well, I think it's about time for that forest ranger. Mike seems to be having trouble. This is radio. This is, you don't know what's going on. His line is busy. Do you think he got sucked up into Neverland?
I think he's in telephone heck.
Well, my goodness.
There's really no way to get him out, is there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, his line is busy.
Well, you see what they do on these phones sometimes is they ring three or four times and then they jump to the next line. And unfortunately, sometimes they jump to a line that doesn't exist. I don't know where he could be. I could theorize. Let me try this. I hate to make these noises on the air, but I have to do it. I have to save him. Nope, that's unsuccessful. We take calls. Could we do that?
No. Let me get him first.
Get him.
What
well,
mics do we have on? Here?
Try him again. That mic's on. Why don't you sit here?
Okay. Well, how can I try?
Tell
him
you what. Why
here?
Don't you write down his number? I'll call him directly, so we don't have to fiddle around with all this stuff.
Okay. You have a piece of paper.
Here's a piece of paper. You got a pen?
Yes, I do.
48 wild horses die in a test. We'll have that story coming up real soon.
How about if I read that while you're
okay,
down?
You want to read that?
Sure.
Just don't make me laugh while I'm...
This is from the New York Times.
That's our dial tone. That's another dial tone.
This is from the New York Times.
It looks like it.
Credit where
due. That's a four? Is that supposed to be a four?
Yes. 48 wild Mustangs died of dehydration in the high Nevada desert last September during a University of Minnesota experiment with horse contraceptives.
Horse contraceptives.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
The deaths prompted the Federal Bureau of Land Management to place tighter controls over researchers' handling of the horses. I guess we should mention that that is the busy signal.
Well, we are listening to a forest ranger's busy signal, even as we speak, at this very moment.
Let's personify it and say that it actually belongs to a fellow by the name of Jürgen Wildman in Kanawha County, West Virginia.
I imagine a few people would have been able to pick that up. I mean, listen to the strong, steady stride of that busy signal. Even coming to us from West Virginia, you know, it really makes you think. West Virginia it is, right?
Yes, it is.
Look at me kind of strangely. Boy, I'll tell you. On the other end of that phone line is a puzzled forest ranger was on the other end of that phone line. Apparently something happened.
Now, we are pretty puzzled now. What happened here?
I don't know, but I can save that number by hitting this special button.
Uh-huh.
And then all I have to do is punch that line in and punch that button, and I don't have to dial anymore.
Save, repeat.
Yeah, save, repeat.
Oh, good.
And, of course, I'll probably still be busy. Yeah, it's still busy.
The deaths prompted the Federal Bureau of Land Management to place tighter controls over researchers' handling of the horses, but have led to no disciplinary measures against the university researchers or federal officials. Bob Stewart, chief of public affairs for the Bureau's Nevada office.
Excuse me, I have an idea. If I hit this button twice, sometimes I can pick up any line that's ringing in the station. Not that time, sorry. Boy, this is embarrassing.
Could it be that 50-something or other number that...
I told you not to transfer to that line.
I didn't.
That's the cursed line. You transferred to a cursed phone line that always sends people to outer space or something.
I didn't. I transferred it, and when I walked in here, it was flashing.
You know what's really funny? You made that call, right? You made that call on your own personal long-distance bill.
That's going to be on my long-distance bill.
Not only that, that call is going to go on forever.
Until he hangs up.
Until he hangs up, or maybe even beyond that. Because what happens sometimes with these new electronic systems, things get stuck in weird places.
That's
and
true.
It just goes on. You have a call that lasts 4 or 5 days. And sometimes, this is something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to make a phone call on the day when the phone bill goes out. Start it, like, I think my phone bill goes out on the 19th. What happens if I start a phone call on the 18th and don't hang up until the 20th? How does that show up on the bill? Maybe they don't send you a bill. Maybe they don't send you a bill until it's all over. Think about it.
Ooh. Why don't we try them again?
Another scheme. Remind me about this other scheme I have. Okay, let's try them one more time.
What's the other scheme?
After that, we're going to have to take calls, Mike. I mean, this is crazy.
I can't remind you what the other scheme is until...
Well, let's see if this goes through. If it doesn't go through, then I'll tell you my other scheme. And I would like comments on this. It's still busy. Are you finished with the horse comments?
I only read two paragraphs.
Okay, horse contraceptives, go right ahead.
Calling.
Why do horses need contraceptives?
Because they're wild.
I'll bet they are. Okay, and, go ahead.
Yeah. Calling the experiment irresponsible and inexcusable, Dart Anthony. That's his name.
Dart Anthony.
That's what it says.
Okay.
Chairman of the Humane Society of Southern Nevada.
Do you think he was called Darty in school?
I wonder if he was called Darth.
Or Darth the Bell, or I don't know what the formal name of that is.
Said the Bureau employees responsible should be dismissed or suspended. Mr. Anthony said the Society has written the Justice Department to demand that the university return its research grant and pay a penalty of $500 per horse.
Mm-hmm.
He said the society will consider a lawsuit if the Justice Department does not comply.
Interesting.
The University of... Oh, this is a quote. The University of Minnesota's experiment is probably one of the most irresponsible experiments ever conducted in the United States, Mr. Anthony said Tuesday from his Las Vegas office.
Mr. Dart Anthony.
It just says Mr. Anthony. That's all it says. Mr. Stewart. Okay, what's his first name?
Let's see.
You haven't been paying attention, have you?
No, I'm sorry. I must admit I haven't.
Bob
Stewart.
Said the deaths resulted from unforeseeable circumstances. He said 12 new policies to regulate horse experiments are satisfactory response to the deaths.
Want to try that one more time? Try the phone call again? Okay, here we go.
This is what Bob Stewart said. We've determined that there was no one individual or any one Bureau of Land Management or University policy that caused this, he said.
What's causing this? That's what I want to know. You know, those forest rangers, I don't know.
They have lots of patience.
Did you tell them to hold on no matter how long it took?
I told them for a little while.
Not only do we have an infinite bill building up now, but we have a forest ranger.
I have an infinite bill building up here.
Well, I meant we in the collective sense, as opposed to another sense. But
who should I send that receipt to?
I don't know. But are you finished with your?
Yeah, close enough.
My other scheme, and let's say we're going to take phone calls now, so at least people can start calling us.
Okay.
632-6901, area code 516.
Mm-hmm.
This is my idea, and I don't see why it wouldn't work. Okay. Let's say you have a Visa card, right, and you have American Express. Have I ever told you this before? Okay. You have both
credit
cards.
I'm shaking my head no for the folks at home.
Okay. You have both credit cards, right? You have Visa and you have American Express. Now, let's say you charge $500 on Visa, right? You go with your American Express card. You get a cash advance of $500. Take the $500 you got from American Express. You pay Visa. Visa is happy. You don't owe them anything. No interest, no nothing. The month goes by, and you get an American Express bill for the $500 you took out. You go to your Visa machine or person or whatever, you get a $500 advance from them, and you pay American Express.
Yes, but
they just keep going back and forth forever, and you never pay a penny in interest.
No, that's not true.
Okay, where am I wrong?
When the minute you take a cash advance out against a credit card, you pay interest. It's different from charging a purchase.
It is.
Read the fine print.
How much of a charge?
It depends on your card. I don't know.
I'll think of something else then, but I think that's the start of a good idea. If nothing else, let's say it's a $2 charge or a $3 charge.
Let me ask Ivan Bosky, he would know.
In effect, you're charging $500 without ever paying for it because you just keep bouncing back and forth.
Isn't that like kiting a check or something like that?
Is that what they call it?
Something like that, yeah.
Figures there's a name for it, but I just thought of it myself. I don't know if it's illegal or anything, but if someone knows that, please...
Let's try West Virginia one more time.
Okay, we're gonna. There's some calls waiting. We will try West Virginia first, and if West Virginia is busy, we will go into delay and then start taking some phone calls here.
All right, okay.
And here we go. Making this phone call now. Hopefully he has hung up his phone now in disgust. He might be kind of mad when he picks up.
Yes.
You talk to him first.
Okay.
No, I'm still busy.
All right.
Okay, now we have to do something kind of tricky. We have to go into delay.
Is it on?
Delay is on. Yes, I turned it on.
Okay.
Now I just have to find the magic cartridge here.
And I have to take these headphones off.
Now, the secret of doing delay is to do it so that no one knows that you're doing delay.
But we're doing it.
So that's the secret of delay. So what I'm going to do is I will, as soon as I hit this button, you start talking. It's as simple as that. Okay?
Okay.
And one, two, three, and away we go.
Hi, this is Jerry Mulligan. You're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook, the most dangerous station in the nation.
What you're listening to now is actually taking place 7 seconds ago.
Through the miracle
of modern technology, we can do all sorts of neat things.
And it worked, too.
Wow.
I don't know how it worked, but it worked.
Yeah.
So we're coming over 7 seconds later.
Yeah. You can turn your radio down and know that.
Yeah. Okay, we have some calls, and let's go to them. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. I just thought I could tell you guys what a nice, show you're doing so far.
Well, that's real nice. By the way, it gives me great pleasure to say this. Could you please turn down your radio?
Oh, okay.
I'd love saying this.
What days are you on now?
We're on Saturday nights. Mike, of course, is a guest. I can't point that out strongly enough. Mike is a guest. He will be up here occasionally, I guess, as his schedule permits, but
either that or our
how often would
permits.
That be?
Excuse me?
How often would that be about?
Well, I guess once every couple of weeks or so. Once every couple of months, maybe. A year? I don't know.
Then it's uncertain, I suppose. Suppose we only want to hear Mike, then.
Do you have a suggestion for them, Mike?
I can't hear. I don't hear a word they're saying.
Oh, you can't hear them?
No, I can't.
That's right. You don't have headphones.
No.
Well, she, right?
He?
Are you a she or a he?
Yeah, no, I'm a she.
You're a she.
You answer the question.
Well, I'm sorry. I just had to know.
That's rude.
She would like to know when you, if they just want to hear you.
Me?
Wait a minute. This is an insult.
Me? Is that what they're saying to me? Oh, I'm touched.
They want to know when they can hear you if they just want to hear you.
They can't.
And I want to know how you can hear us. You can't even hear the phone calls because you don't have headphones.
That's right.
That's a shame.
To answer the person's question, who is calling, I don't know. We'd have to lobby with the powers that be here to pay for my train fare on a weekly basis, and I'd be more than happy to come up and do a radio show.
Oh, I mean, why don't we have
until
a
that happens, and I think it would be a very cold day someplace.
Now, you're both talking at once here, and let me just point out that Mike cannot hear you because he has enough headphones.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
So just stop talking and let Mike finish, and then when he finishes, you can talk, and then I'll tell him what you said.
Can that person hear me?
That's a great strategy.
That person can hear you, yeah, but you can't hear them.
Oh, I see.
And I don't think there's any way, unless I push this button. No, I guess no one can hear anything now.
That button's supposed to make a little snapping noise when you push it.
It's not making a little snapping noise anymore.
Hmm.
Okay, well, never mind that.
Hmm.
So, finish what you were saying.
I was just going to say it's going to be a very cold day you know where when the radio station's going to pay me to come up every week to do a radio show. So, it seems like every 6 months or so, I might come in and do Marianne's and Jerry's program.
Coffee cakes, you said?
Coffee
yeah.
cakes?
Well, have a bake sale or something. You boys can make cookies or something.
Have a bake sale and make cookies. Where are you calling from, just out of curiosity?
A telephone.
A telephone. How nice. Okay, well, we want to thank you for calling.
Mom. Oh, thank you for answering.
Oh, it's really no problem at all.
Oh, that's nice.
Let me just point out our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516.
Why don't we try West Virginia one more time?
Okay, but we'll be on delay. Thanks for calling once again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 632-6901, we're trying West Virginia again, and here we go. Boy.
Now, how come I can't hear the speaker?
Wait a minute, we can't do this in delay because you won't be able to talk to your own guests.
Yeah, that's true.
Shall we launch us back out of delay, and then we can
yeah,
do
why
it
that
later?
That.
Okay, let's go back out of delay, and then the next voice you hear will be us no longer in delay. Right?
Yeah, that's right. We just said that.
We just said that.
We just said
that. Sounds really funny. Now we have a bunch of calls here. Okay, let's...
That are going to just have to wait for a little while.
Just for a little while until we check the guy in West Virginia again.
I can just imagine.
This is turning out to be a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of fun. Bum, 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 bum. So, Eric, how was your week?
Oh, now, come on, how do you pick these people that never hang up their phones? Bye, Jim.
Bye.
Bye, Jim. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good luck.
I will. I mean, I'll try to have good luck.
Luck. Yeah.
Bye.
All right, I guess that means we go back into delay and come back to him. I can just imagine what my phone bill is going to be.
I wish there was a way I could get around this somehow. We need to get an operator to break into the conversation, which he's not having, and say, hey, dummy, excuse me, please hang up your phone.
Don't call him a dummy. He's probably taking it out on us, and he's hearing a phone ring.
I don't think it would be to anyone's advantage to have this conversation. He's going to be full of hostility.
Yeah. Well, he's if you can actually get through, he's just hearing a phone ring, figured, well, why not just put the phone off the hook? So he's probably just walked away, gotten himself a cup of coffee or something, and...
Oh, he's having a grand old time. We can't even get something to drink here.
Oh, Jürgen.
Except water out of the ladies' room.
Oh, try it one more time.
Why is it the men's room is locked in this building?
I don't know, but there is a water fountain there. I did not have to go to the ladies' room to get a glass of water.
I don't like to go to the ladies' room for anything. I just want to make that clear.
There are no urinals there.
We lost all our calls now. 632-6901.
Well, why don't we try Virginia one more time?
If you say, why don't we try Virginia one more time, okay. I'm going to scream.
Let's try West Virginia then.
All right, let's go. It's going to be busy again. All right, we have some more calls. We're going to have to go back into delay and take these calls. And then we have a special feature. Actually, we have a couple of special features, which we should get to. Busy. Let's first do this, and then we'll get to those calls, since we went out of delay. How did you celebrate New Year's, or did you celebrate New Year's?
Yes, my wife and I, we went to a friend's house who has a cat who fetches balls.
That sounds exciting. Oh, he has a cat that fetches balls.
Mm-hmm. Just like your dog, Walter, does.
Well, actually, Walter's supposed to fetch things.
Walter does fetch things, but you never get the things that he fetches. This cat, his name was, I can't even remember the name of the cat now. It was a kitten.
Beethoven?
No, you'd be able to throw him this little object, and you can guess all day, and you won't guess it, I'm sure. Okay.
Speaking of names, I heard this great name. In fact, we went out with a bunch of people tonight, had dinner, and I just happened to overhear this story. Someone was talking about naming kids, right? Naming little babies that just got born, and this drugged mother was just, you know, someone went up to her and asked her, well, have you thought, was he going to name the baby? She said, oh, I heard such a lovely name last night while I was giving birth. And I said, oh, what's that? Placenta. She thought it was a foreign name or something. Wow. Some pretty amazing stories if you just listen a little carefully.
But that was a good dinner we had, too. We had, what, 12 people showed up to that restaurant?
12 people showed up.
Boy, they made their night.
And by the end of the night, we knew most of them. Yeah. But anyway, let's get to this. Speaking of New Year's, what was different about this New Year's that was different?
The leap second.
The leap second that we didn't have since 1985. And probably won't have again for another couple of years. But it was just interesting to
have
an extra second and to see how people dealt with it.
What did you do with it?
Well, now, I listened to the atomic clock, which comes out of Fort Collins, Colorado. It sounds something like this. In fact, it sounds exactly like this. Okay, there's a radio station, which I tape this off. That's the guy that says the tone.
58 minutes, coordinated universal time.
And there's a beep. Okay, and they play a little tick-tock every second. Okay, and this, I believe, was coming up on the very minute of midnight universal time, which was 7 o'clock p.m. our time. So, no, I wasn't at midnight sitting by a shortwave radio taping little clicks.
Oh.
This was 5 hours before that. And I just wanted to hear what they did on the hour. And as it happens, they just inserted an extra second of silence before the beep, which we will hear.
This midnight universal time, is that Greenwich Mean Time?
I believe it's the same thing, yeah. Although they don't call it Greenwich Mean Time anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. So we have 1 more minute to go after this. Oh, this is very exciting, I know. But and you'll see the reception sort of fades in and out. But
no, we'll hear that the reception fades in and out.
Now, I'm sure there's people that are interested in this. Let's hear this.
At the tone, 23 hours, 59 minutes, coordinated universal time.
Okay, we got 1 minute. 1 minute to the stroke of and the non-stroke of midnight. New Year's Day, 1988.
We should say that you're not tuned to WWV, you're tuned to WUSB.
That's right.
In Stony Brook, New York.
Now, we've got a couple of, including one call on hold, so we will get to that in just a moment. Oh, this is exciting. Okay, that period of silence means the 30-second mark.
Ah. So we should just shut up and let
We should shut up and let people hear the extra moment of
shut
silence
up. Shut up.
After he says at the tone.
At the tone, 0 hours, 0 minutes, coordinated universal time.
There it was. And that was it. Now, that was a very exciting moment for me, I know. I've never heard anything quite like that before. Oh, well, you laugh. It was a very exciting moment, a part of history, to hear that extra second of silence. Time stopped. What were you doing that second? Do you know? I know. I was there. I heard it.
And let's see. That would have been, what time? That would have been 5 p.m.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Also, because it's 5 hours off.
5 hours.
Ah. I was probably taking a snooze in preparation for going out.
Well, that's commendable, I guess.
Maybe that or eating dinner. No, I wasn't eating dinner yet. Oh, I don't remember.
All right, well, look, we are going to go back into the way and take this phone call, and then we have some other things to do, and we'll try the...
Wait a minute. How am I going to be able to hear these calls?
I don't know. I wish there was a way.
There's only one headphone in the studio, and you're wearing it?
Yeah. Well, you could go into there, into that room.
I could?
Yeah, that room, and I can switch you into audition by hitting this button. So go into there. And let me just ask the person on the phone to be a little bit more patient. Oh, I mean, as patient as you have been. And then we will get right to it. Okay, Mike, I don't know if you can hear me in there. Okay, why don't you... I can hear you in there. I can hear you moving around.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the right mic. Okay.
This is it. Okay. Now, I have one question.
I'm going to punch a button now and tell me if you stop hearing me right after I say this.
Yes, I stopped hearing you.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into delay now and you should have no trouble at all. The only thing you have to do is punch the same button that is lit on the phone so that you can converse back and forth.
Do I have to press the speaker or anything?
Just press the button that's lit. The speaker light should light up.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, I have to go into delay here. So
okay.
No point panicking.
Okay.
We are going to do that right now.
Okay.
Okay, this is Ian from APB, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook.
And here we are. Here we are in delay. Mike, you should be in delay, too. Are you in delay? Ah,
yes.
Can you hear me now? You're
yes.
In delay. Okay, that's
I
good.
Can hear you.
Let me just make sure we made it okay. Okay, we're all in delay. Now let's go to this phone call. Hello, you are on brain damage.
Hi, this is one of your favorite listeners from Center Reach.
Hi, John.
And I was just wondering what the difference was between a Lunar Clear signal on the CSX system.
Mike, perhaps you'd like to tackle that one.
John, I'm going to have to call you back later on that.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye John.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
He waited on hold for 20 minutes for that?
I don't know. I don't know. A friend of mine called and said Virginia was having trouble with phone calls, but he finally got through, and he advises you to try now.
Is that what that was?
That was this note I was just handed.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, then we can go out of delay again. All right, come back in here, Mike, and
okay,
we'll get this phone call underway. Oh, this is a lot of fun. You are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage
right
and,
now.
Right now, come on, hurry up. We're out of delay now. Okay, we're out of delay.
Okay, push the button.
Hit the button there, and here we go.
Okay.
You get to explain to him just what happened.
Yes. He can hear me from where I'm sitting, right?
I rang.
Amazing. Rang. Yes. Thanks to whomever that friend of mine was who called.
Hello?
Hello, Jürgen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Mike.
Yeah.
And you're on the air.
Okay.
And we had some technical difficulties with the phone. You probably heard it ring and ring and ring and ring and ring, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, we're sorry about that. The phone system here leaves a lot to be desired.
I should make a formal introduction here. On the phone with us from Kanawha County in West Virginia is Jürgen Wildman. And and you're on Brain Damage. That's the name of the program here. And here in the studio is, of course, myself and Eric Corley, our host.
Hello.
And Jürgen, you can hear us okay, can you?
Yeah, it sounds kind of faded, though.
Yeah, well, that's our speakerphone here. I think what I should do here is...
Where are you going?
I'm just going to come right over here.
Oh, come over here.
Can you hear me a little bit better now?
A little, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's what I figured. Can you tell us, you had sent me this this little note saying that you had had forest fires and stuff down in West Virginia. Could you kind of explain what kind of went on and what caused it and what it was like?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, really happened all through the southern part of the United States. We had a real drought in the summer. It was at least several, like two of 1 month I know of that we had no rainfall whatsoever, and that was July to August. And what that did was it set the tone for our fall fire season. Down here we have a spring fire season, a fall fire season, and essentially that's when the leaves fall off the trees. Of course, they're on the ground, they're dead, they're dry, and they become fire hazards. And what happened was, because of this drought in the summer, it had dried up all our creeks, it had dried up the soil, and when we had just a short dry spell in November there, you'll probably recall the first week of November was when you got all that smoke up there, we had a number of fires, and it was so dry and so windy at that point that we just could not control them at all. We had, I think, 1,100 fires just in the state of West Virginia, and they burned over 400,000 acres. To give you an idea of how much land that is, how much woodland, when we go to schools and talk to kids, we tell them that 1 acre of land is about equal to the size of a football field area-wise.
Uh-huh.
So if you put 400,000 football fields side by side, that's what burned in West Virginia alone.
That's a lot of football.
Now, Jürgen, could you explain why we smelled the smoke way up here in Long Island and in Philadelphia, where I live?
Well, like I was saying, because of this dry spell, we tried to contain a number of fires, and then we had a number of windy days, and so we ended up having to fight a whole bunch of fires at once, and our personnel, we just didn't have enough personnel to do it with, and, every firefighter, including myself, had 5 or 6 fires going at once. We could not possibly control them all.
Uh-huh.
Our firefighters were absolutely exhausted after 2 or 3 days of fighting 20 hours a day. And
20 hours a day?
20 hours a day, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I put in 130 hours out of a possible total of 168 in 1 week.
Wow.
Our firefighters were so exhausted, we just could not keep fighting. And so you had hundreds of forest fires completely out of control. And of course, the way the winds go, they blow from west to east, and you've got all our smoke.
So now, what actually caused the fires? Were they spontaneous combustion? You hear people saying spontaneous combustion all the time, or was it arson, or was it...
Oh, no. Spontaneous combustion means it just happens by itself. That doesn't happen.
Oh?
It's people. Mostly people. Very few fires are you know, you've heard the old Smokey Bear commercials that 90% of the fires are set by people. Well, that's true.
Uh-huh.
West Virginia is probably more than that. Very few times do we have fires that are not human-related. Down power lines. One of my fires was from a mine fire, which had been burning for years. You see, this is coal country down here, and so you'll have exposed coal seams from when they were mining, and occasionally one of them will be caught on fire by a forest fire, and they'll burn for years. And then when the leaves come down in the fall, of course, they catch fire on this burning coal seam, and then that sends a fire, you know, a forest fire, gets one started. I had one fire started that way, but almost all of them are arson-related.
How many fires did you say were going on at one time?
Well, hundreds. We ended up with over 1,100 fires in the state.
So you're saying most of those 1,100 were set by humans?
Oh, yeah. They were all, most of them, probably 75% were arsonists, were, you know, they were set on purpose. I can't tell you why a person would want to set something on fire, but in my area, I can give you an idea of why. What you have down here is, of course, a lot of coal company land. And the coal industry, of course, has been on the ropes for a long time, and there's been a lot of bitterness down here for years between, of course, the unions and the coal companies. And there's a lot of out-of-work miners down here that, you know, hold grudges against the coal companies. And, you know, it's just they have no respect for the land. The 10 southernmost counties of West Virginia, of course, is where we get most of our fires, and that's where we have a lot of coal company land.
So it's just disgruntled employees and ex-employees.
Well, I wouldn't say that's the main reason, but that's one of the reasons in my area.
Uh-huh.
There are other reasons. You get a lot of kids on four-wheelers, you know, these all-terrain vehicles.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody's ever seen a forest fire up there, but it's very spectacular, especially at night.
Uh-huh.
And these kids, just for kicks, will do that. They'll take their four-wheelers up on some old coal road and set a fire and then take off and then watch us go and have to put it out.
Hmm. You wonder what gets into these people's minds, I guess, huh?
Oh, they have no respect for the land.
Or the firefighters, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Now, the firefighters, essentially, down here, we rely on volunteers. The volunteer fire departments will help us, but if they've got to worry about structure fires, they can't help us.
Mm-hmm.
So we rely on volunteers from the community, essentially. They're mostly like hunters or nature people that want to help. They only get paid $1 an hour as firefighters, and we have what we call four fire wardens who sometimes are in charge of fire crews.
Uh-huh.
They get paid $1.50 an hour, but they're essentially just volunteers. I mean, you know, $1 an hour is not much.
No, certainly not, even in Kanawha County, I guess, huh?
No. But we do have, you know, I have a lot of kids. I mean, there's a lot of poverty in this part of the state, and there are kids. You know, we get a lot of young people fighting fires for us that are out of work and stuff.
Mm.
Who will fight fire for $1 an hour. They actually want the money.
Do you figure that there's a chance that some of those who are fighting actually set some of the fires?
Oh, that happens. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen.
Uh-huh.
Sure. I'll give you an example. A ranger that works with me here in Kanawha County a few years ago had a high school crew. And, we do recruit firefighters from high schools.
Uh-huh.
Now, lots of times, what we used to do is take them out of school, you know, to fight a fire. Now, of course, you know what that means. These kids don't want to be in school. One of them will go out and set a fire just so they get yanked out of school. They don't have to, you know, to go to school and then go fight a fire.
I see.
But we don't, that happens very rarely.
I see.
Most of our volunteers, you know, are really genuinely concerned about the land.
So now, when you are not personally fighting fires, say, in the summertime and in the wintertime when it's not the fire season, what do you do as a forest ranger in Kanawha County, West Virginia?
Well, you see, I'm not just a forest ranger. I'm also, my title is really a service forester.
Uh-huh.
And there are two different kinds of jobs down here in West Virginia. You got the ranger positions, which are mainly fire control and fire suppression.
Uh-huh.
And you have the forester positions, which have a lot to do with timber management, logging, you know, the timber resources, managing timber resources.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's part of my job, and I try to get as much of that done during, you know, the summer and the winter as I can. But also in the summer and the winter, we also do a lot of prevention work. We go visit, especially in the wintertime, we'll visit a lot of high schools and elementary schools.
Uh-huh.
We have a Smokey the Bear costume. We bring that, and our rangers, you know, we'll go in with a ranger, two rangers. One will dress up as Smokey the Bear. The other one will do all the talking. And we have fire prevention message.
So you actually dress up as Smokey sometimes?
Yes, I've done that before.
Oh, that must have been fun, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's fun. It's a lot more fun with the younger kids because they get a bigger kick out of it. Some of the older kids like to see if they can abuse Smokey. You know, they know he's not real. And
What do they do to Smokey?
Oh, they'll kick you and, you know, they'll try to see if they can squeeze your hand so hard you drop to your knees. And I've been hit in the head before.
Well, do you hit back?
Well, we're not supposed to, so we just take it, you know. There's things we can do to...
I was just trying to picture Smokey the Bear decking a kid, you know. Must be...
But that's why we don't do that. You know, we can do little subtle things like...
Like trip them accidentally?
And lift them a little bit so that they're on their tippy toes, and then move them on. You know, most of the time it's, you know, they shake our hands, what they do.
Pause, you mean?
Hmm? Pause, yeah. Excuse me. But that's one of the fun parts of the job, is dealing with the kids, you know. And the younger ones are much more likely to listen to our message, so that's why we use Smokey more. In fact, in elementary schools, we usually divide it up. Anything below fourth grade and below, we use Smokey for. Fifth and sixth, we don't bother anymore because we know those kids don't really care. We just bring the ranger in and show them some movies, you know.
Yeah, and film strips, they're always more effective, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, if you show them what damage a fire can do, you know, that makes an impact.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
When's the last time you fought a fire?
It was probably during the, that bad week until it poured down rain.
So it hasn't been bad since then?
The second week of November. Once it gets cold, usually after Thanksgiving, we don't get any fires here.
Now, you said that it poured down rain that smothered out all the fires?
Yes, yes. There was no way we were going to be able to control them until that happened.
I see.
We had just had too many out of control. Our personnel were all tired. They were just about to call out the National Guard here. In fact, they called them out. The governor had called them out. But the one thing you don't want on a fire line, a fire can be a dangerous thing, you know. You don't want untrained people, untrained personnel, first of all, because they can get lost in the woods. And another thing is that, you know, you could have fire all around you and still have a fire under control as long as you have lines in the right places. Well, an untrained person might go in there and panic, seeing this fire everywhere and not know where to go and get himself trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the National Guard person supposed to be trained, though?
Well, what we did was when they called out the National Guard, it was a Monday, and we were supposed to train them for a day, and then they were supposed to go in and help us out on Wednesday. Well, of course, Tuesday night it rained, and they called off the National Guard by Wednesday.
So you were pretty lucky then, huh?
Yeah, we were lucky.
They were lucky, too.
Huh?
They were lucky, too, I imagine.
Yeah, they probably didn't want to go up there and fight them because it's hard work. And
one of the things I've heard, Jürgen, was that you actually fight fire with fire?
Yeah, that's right. It's very difficult to stop a fire sometimes, especially on a windy day. What we'll do is we'll cut a fire line. We use rakes to rake leaves. You know, the thing that burns is the dead leaves on the ground. That's the fuel. Leaves, branches, twigs, things like that, stumps, dead trees. And we'll try to rake a line 8-10 feet wide without leaves on it. You know, we'll rake the leaves away. And so there's just soil showing. And then we'll do that maybe 100 feet or depending on how fast the fire is burning ahead of the fire. We'll try to cut a line down in front of it, and then we'll set another fire back toward it from our line. And what essentially that does is it lengthens your fire control line so that, you know, the farther away that the fire stops from where you rake, the better off you are, because less likely something's going to blow across or fall across your line and start it on the other side, and then you have to go back, you know, start all over again.
Mm. So it's very little actual spraying with water, then it's a lot of raking.
Oh, no. Well, where we are, you see, we're in the foothills of the Appalachians here. We've got big, big hills, and it just doesn't pay to use water. I mean, the waters are very, very, very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We will use volunteer fire departments. We'll use their pumper trucks if they can get to the fires. But most of the time, and especially in my area, and I've got a certain fire control area, we're talking very remote coal company lands with coal roads.
So do you actually have pictures of yourself covered with soot and smoke?
Oh, yeah, I've got that. I've got pictures of fires. I've got pictures of what's happened to areas after fires.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Well, listen, Jürgen, you know, I kind of hate to bring this to a close, but we're kind of running short on time here.
I understand.
So, but we would like to say thanks for putting up with our ringing signal that you heard there for quite a while.
I hope people got a little bit out of this.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Sorry for putting you on hold like that, but as I was saying while we were trying to get hold of you, that one thing that forest rangers have to have when they are fighting fires, of course, is a lot of patience, and so you exhibited that while we were trying to get hold of you. Unfortunately, you were listening to a phone ring someplace in Stony Brook.
Oh, rips.
Hopefully it's stopped ringing by now, but we don't know.
I'll give them two more minutes here.
Yeah. Well, very good. Jürgen Wildman, thanks very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome there, Mike.
So long.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was very interesting, Mike. I must hand it to you. That was I learned quite a bit about forest fires there.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
1,100
forest fires at the same time.
No, in total. That's over like a week or two.
Well, still, they're more or less out of control at the same time. I mean, that's incredible.
Yes.
But, you know, next time you talk to him, I would suggest that you ask him to get call waiting.
Yeah.
If he has call waiting on his line, that can never happen. You know, you can call while he's waiting for the busy signal, and we would have just come in on top of him and said, hang up that phone, we're coming through.
The next time that we call him up on the air, I'll make sure that we have him with call waiting.
We're going to take a rather short break here, and then we'll come back and take some phone calls and do all kinds of other fun things.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, hold on. Right, I got that part.
Zero, nine. Oh, after the second nine is a hold.
After the nine is a...
It's 9659478.
Okay, it was nine and then six?
No, 9478.
Four?
No, 9478.
Okay, count the numbers after the second nine. Say the number again. Say all the numbers so you get to the number. Okay, we have the 965.
965.
Then it's 1. It's 9.
9.
Then 1.
No.
2.
No.
3.
No.
4.
No.
5.
No.
6.
No.
7.
No.
8.
No, I'm sorry. It was a 7 there. 7. 7.
9, 7.
7.
9778.
Yes, sir.
That's the number that I
took here.
Well, it's very rare.
Oh,
it's very rare.
You can
hear me normally.
I hear you. It's a little bit of
static.
Yeah, just a little bit of static. Not a lot. I started noticing it. I was talking to a friend, and he told me my voice sounded a little echoey.
Right,
and what I was saying was echoing a lot. And then, as I recalled, I said, I thought we sounded more like a camera. And people were telling me it sounded hollow and all sorts of things.
And this is when you receive and make phone calls?
You have
two phones.
Right, and I have it on both of them.
And your address is?
Hello?
What's your address?
What's your address? Can you speak up, please?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, what is your address?
My address is 4-4-0-4.
Okay, I didn't understand that at all.
4-3?
Seven.
5E.
You are.
Okay, let me... Your phone number was 718-965-9778.
Yes, sir.
718-965-9778. Okay, your address is 658 Wood Street. Not really. It's getting harder. Elliot? Okay, so let me advise you that if a repaired person has to be sent out, any problems with our service for free, any problems with any equipment that doesn't belong to you yourself, there's a service charge and we don't service the equipment.
How much is the charge?
The minimum of
$21. Oh, that's no problem.
And is there another number we can reach you at?
No.
Area code 718. Hello?
Hello, yes. 718.
How can I hear you now?
434.
434?
4907.
Did you say you can hear me now?
I can hear you. Okay, that's good. I heard you just now,
then
you went away again.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hello?
Right now.
Oh.
Okay, you moving the phone?
No, I'm not doing anything.
Oh.
I'm just sitting here.
No, it's clicking in and out.
It's clicking in and out. I don't know what's happening then.
Okay, what's the last part?
9-8-0-7. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you an appointment, sir, for Saturday between 9 and 5.
Okay. Saturday?
Right.
You can't send any of them by tomorrow?
I don't have any more appointments for tomorrow.
No appointments?
See, I'm giving you the best appointment that I have.
Is there any way...
if
digital somebody stuff, has to be like getting an installation or something?
Okay, it's only for if someone has to be sent down. If it's a problem with our lines, we'll clear it up from the office as soon as possible.
Okay, do you think it's a problem with your lines, or do you think it's a problem with my equipment? I mean, a problem at all, you know, all my
okay, see, when you talk, I can't understand what you're saying. When you talk,
do you think it's going to be a problem with the line that's going to be 6 years old? Do you think somebody's going to have to call all the way to my house?
You can call back here later on this evening. They're going to test your lines when I send a report. It takes a couple of hours.
Okay.
You can call back around 9 o'clock. We'll be able to tell you, you know, if it's cleared up or if it's a problem where they have to be sent down.
Okay, so I'll call back at 5.
Okay, clear again. It keeps coming on and off.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sometimes I can hear you, and sometimes, you know, you sound like...
Sometimes you can hear me clearly?
Right.
So,
you say your name is William.
Yeah.
And what's your... That's your last name, right?
The last name is William.
And what's your first name?
First name is Jesse.
Jesse?
Yes, bro.
It's with a J?
Yeah. J-E-S-S-E-R-Y.
Okay, okay, now that I can hear you a little bit. Let's say your phone number again. I can hear you a little bit.
What my telephone number is?
Right, just say
965-9778. Yeah. The other number I gave you was my brother's number.
And the other number is your brother's number?
Yeah.
Okay, then, sir.
Okay, so... if I will call back tonight, will somebody be able to check if everything's okay with my router?
Okay.
Okay, how long can I call back?
Around 9 o'clock.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
You too.
I'm not even going to ask about that one.
Okay, don't. But never let it be said that the telephone company does not employ patient people.
As we know, there are patient forest rangers.
There are patient forest rangers, there are patient telephone operators, and we're going to meet them all on this program. And that's a promise. From us here at USB.
90.1.
On your FM dial. Is it always a dial, or is it sometimes something else?
Some people just say on your FM band.
FM band? FM dial? FM,
orchestra?
What?
Band.
Ah. Well, certainly it's nice to be here.
Well, it's news time.
This Saturday night. Is it news time?
I don't know.
Well, it's news time. It's time to stop the music and get on with the news.
Stop the
That's what I say.
What's this?
Looks like a cup of some sort. A cup without a handle.
Doesn't it look like a cooling tower?
Have you seen the new USB mugs?
No.
There's new USB... Oh, yes, there are. There's new USB mugs.
I will have to buy one, but we do not hawk them on the air,
do we? Let's give our phone number out so people can call up even as we give the news, and we can put them right on, and this time we will, because we only have about 20 minutes left or so.
632-6901.
Let's give it in English. 632-6901. Area code 516.
Yeah.
And that is our phone number. And that's the only number we will accept calls on. 632-6901. And, Mike, we made a very interesting discovery about our phone system. Would you care to describe it to the folks?
Well, the reason why our friend in West Virginia was in telephone limbo was because we transferred him from one line to another line. And when that other line did not pick up within four rings, it transferred to somewhere else we do not know
we
where.
We don't know where they transferred it to, but...
So all he heard was just the endless sound of ringing, yeah. Ring.
And you were paying for every second of that ringing.
It was.
Every second of that ringing is going on your
bill.
But somehow, after four rings, if you transfer a call here, it just goes away. And we don't know where it goes. It doesn't hang up. It just goes and rings someplace else. We don't know where. What a great feature. I guess we pay extra for that, huh?
Hmm.
Okay, the phones were lighting up, but they're not lighting up now, so let's get on with the news.
News.
With the ink still drying.
I wonder what color ink they used.
Gee, I don't know. Well, maybe they'll tell us. With the ink still drying, critics are calling for a sweeping U.S.-Canadian trade deal to
Is that a sweeping
to be erased?
Or a push broom? The side-to-side sweep or the push?
I'm wondering about erasing if it's ink.
Oh.
That's going to be kind of hard. With the ink still drying, critics are calling for a sweeping U.S.-Canadian trade deal to be erased. The deal was signed today in California by President Reagan. That's our president.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, in Ottawa by Prime Minister Mulroney.
I've heard of him, too.
Yeah, the pact between the world's largest trading partners was signed with little fanfare. But Reagan had some upbeat words, saying the deal would encourage supporters of free trade throughout the world by demonstrating that governments can remove trade barriers.
Canadian opponents say the trade deal has added to the chill north of the border. Fearing the pact would lead to U.S. domination in the Canadian marketplace, more than 1,000 union-organized protesters today blocked the bridge linking Ontario to Detroit.
Oh, dear.
This is getting Windsor, Ontario. It doesn't say here.
Windsor, Ontario, huh?
But that's what it is. It's a bridge. There is a bridge that goes across.
For President Reagan's trade...
Incidentally, did you know that Windsor...
How come you're not letting me finish the sentence here? Go ahead.
That Windsor, Ontario is very, very far south of certain cities in the United States.
Is that a fact?
Yes.
Hmm.
I can show you on a map.
We should annex it or something.
Yes. Since we're doing this trade
thing.
Sounds
like something we do. I just ripped part of the story in half, but I'll try to read it anyway.
Oh, okay.
President Reagan's trade policies were taken to task in the... This is part of the map here. In the Democratic Party Saturday radio address, Senator John Melcher of Montana blamed that policy for helping to send the nation's economy sliding. Melcher called for a trade policy that looks after U.S. interests. What did I just say? Was it anything interesting?
No, probably not.
I don't think so.
It was rough riding today for Democratic presidential contender Richard Gebhardt, not on the campaign trail, but above it.
Oh, yes.
The senator from Missouri was among 42 people on board a United Airlines flight that lost cabin pressure whilst flying from Chicago to Omaha.
Oops.
Broke windows and everything. They had to don oxygen masks. Don oxygen, please call the operator. While the pilot flew safely back to Chicago, Gebhardt seemed unperturbed, saying it was quite all right.
Your turn. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a cue. Okay, unperturbed. Have you been unperturbed recently?
I'm always unperturbed.
I'm perturbed by these phones, I'll tell you that.
You're unperturbed?
I'm perturbed. I'm very perturbed.
Oh, I'm perturbed.
I'm perturbed.
Well, of course.
I am perturbed.
That's good.
I intend on Monday morning to make some phone calls here. I guess I can't do that, but I intend to write some letters and say I'm very perturbed.
You can make some calls.
I don't know if that's possible. Well, the odds are about 50-50 or whatever, but... a good old letter, that'll always go through. Although, did you know that the post offices were closed today?
Yes, I do know.
For no particular reason at all?
Yes, to save money is the only
reason. Save money. They're the post office. They're supposed to be open. That's part of their job.
Yeah.
I mean, I could save money by not paying taxes or by not paying for things in the supermarket, but I don't do that because that's illegal.
That's true.
Isn't
and
it?
Think of all those poor postal employees that would normally be expecting to have some money so they
that's
can
true.
Pay their
that's not
Christmas
fair to them.
Bills.
Not fair to them at all.
Not at all. And not at all to us who demand to buy postage on it. And they shut them down early the day before New Year's.
That's true.
I went to my post office at 3 p.m. and it was closed.
What are the sounds you can make with studio equipment?
Absolutely closed.
That's a dramatic note if I've ever seen one. Okay, we do have a call on hold, so let's get to that as soon as we can. Oh, you want to get to that now and then continue with the news right after we get to this call?
If you want.
Why not? I mean, we can do that. We can do anything we want.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Brain Damage.
Yo, Eric?
Yes.
Yeah, you're from the Eric Quilly from 2600 magazine, right?
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
Don't give away too much personal information on the radio, though. That's what can we do for you?
No, I was just sitting around the radio, and I heard your voice on the radio, because I had talked to you a couple times before. Remember the
9999999999999.
You remember?
This is one of these phone number people.
Yeah.
Well, now that you're on the radio talking to thousands, maybe even millions of people, we do have a potential audience of millions
maybe
of people.
Maybe dozens, maybe absolutely tens.
What would you like to say to them?
Hi, Mom.
Well, thank you for calling.
A clever kid. What town and what are you calling from?
Kings Park.
Kings Park?
Yeah.
That's where the mental institution is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my school's right across the street.
Why do they always do that? They put sirens for nuclear power plants right next to schools. They put mental institutions right next to them. You know? Grocery stores, all kinds of things like that.
Because well, people don't like schools.
I guess not.
Hmm.
Well, look, thanks for calling.
Anyway, I never knew that you were on a radio station.
Well, maybe I'm not. Maybe this is all taking place in your head.
He's only a ghost.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Possible.
Now, 632-6901, that's our phone number.
Let me say
and any other thing. Callers want to come in and interrupt us on the news?
Wait a minute. Before we, let us just talk about Kings Park.
You seem to be choking here.
You remember Ray from... Oh, no, Ray was from Northport, wasn't he?
From Northport, yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to go down the ladies' room and get you some water?
No, that's okay. I don't drink from the ladies' room.
That was I was going to talk about Ray from Kings Park, but it turns out it was actually Ray from Northport, so we can't talk about him.
We have to put up with so much. 95 degrees in this room. Ladies' room, phones. People on telephone talking about loony asylums.
Before. I told them to turn it down. Would they?
No. Nope.
It's on a computer. We can't access the computer.
It's on the same computer that the phones are on, I'll bet.
Mm. You won't bet that. You know that's not true.
It's a campaign trail of blood.
Yeah.
And it's grown longer in the Philippines. The military blames communist rebels for the shooting deaths today of two regional candidates in the past month. 19 candidates vying for the country's January 18th local elections have been slain dead.
The people of Russellville, Arkansas, today gathered to shed their tears for victims of the area's recent mass murder. They crowded a church for the memorial services for 14 members of the family of R. Gene Simmons, the accused killer. Now, you notice they say accused.
Well, I mean, they do have to say accused, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, you're looking at me like that.
Is there any doubt that this guy went on a rampage?
Well, all I know is what people tell me, all right? He didn't walk up to me. I didn't see it. How am I supposed to know? Alleged means, you know,
accused.
It means until someone else decides he did it.
Alleged means accused.
Yeah.
Simmons, who is also accused of killing two others, is going through psychiatric testing at a state hospital in Kings Park.
Now, it's interesting you should bring that up, because I happen to bring in a full page of the New York Times that does nothing but talk about massacres. I mean, this is crazy. There seems to be a new fad going through this country of massacring people, especially family members.
And they did it in Hungerford, England earlier this year as well.
They certainly did, but I think that's only because they broadcast Dallas, you know?
Ah.
Yeah. But, Arkansas, that's the one you were talking about, right? Russellville,
right.
Arkansas. There's
there's one in Iowa. There was one in New Hampshire.
Iowa, Texas.
Texas.
Let's see. Algona, Iowa. Authorities believe a 40-year-old loner killed six relatives before turning the gun on himself after becoming enraged by the holiday attention showered on his sister and her three children.
Mercy, mercy.
And in Dayton, Texas, police charged a 17-year-old with killing his mother and stepbrother, injuring his father, and setting the family's house on fire. And New Hampshire... from 5 p.m. Wednesday until his death about 3 hours later, a suspect identified as 38-year-old Rafael Rodriguez shot two men. Wonder why they only give his name and no one else's. Shot two men in the drug-ridden French Hill neighborhood of Nashua.
New Hampshire.
Yeah, drove 10 miles to Londonderry and shot two
New
more.
Hampshire.
Then drove back to the same Nashua neighborhood and shot a fifth person. So I'm just wondering, is this what 1988 holds for everyone? Massacres and...
These were all in 87, so that we're past that stage.
You think we've grown out of it?
I don't know. Time will tell, hey?
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, you know, there were some real good ones, like... that's a poor choice of words.
Well, that's quite a smile you had in your face when you said that, too.
When could a massacre be good? The McDonald's killings in San Diego?
That was a couple of years
ago. You know, they've torn down that McDonald's.
They did tear it down.
That's nothing.
Did they build like a monument or something?
I think
they were going to do
an empty lot or something. I don't really know for sure.
Hmm.
Of course, the snipers like the Specht character. Was it Richard Specht when he was killing nurses or something? Or was that Steve Specht?
No, don't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's on the air here.
That can't be right.
No. Who's Richard Specht?
Oh, he killed nurses or something.
Well, there's a nurse killer. It was the nurse that was killing people.
That's true.
Right here on Long Island.
On this very, very same island from which we emanate.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to tell too many people that if they keep producing people like this. But
Well, let's get back to the
scary
news.
No, well, it's interesting because, like, at this very moment, I'm sure you heard of that killing in Huntington that was making headlines. This woman disappeared from her home on Christmas Eve, and she was discovered a couple of days later. Right off Pulaski Road. I mean, they were saying these familiar roads that we drive down almost, you know, well, of course you don't. You live in Philadelphia now, but you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
And here they are on the 11 o'clock, the 10 o'clock news, making it seem just like, you know, it was in New Jersey or something. Except it's out here this time. It's out here, and they're talking about our streets and our people. And what's really bizarre right now is that person that killed her, they still don't have that person. That person is somewhere around here.
Maybe
that's
listening.
The point I'm trying to make is...
Maybe listening to us.
Well, on to the next item, then. Racial polarization seems almost like a a friendly type of a thing. You have to talk about all that kind of stuff. But the racial polarization was on display today in Brooklyn, more so than usual, that is. More than 400 black people paraded past hundreds of angry white residents in the Bensonhurst section of the New York City borough. They were they were protesting a Christmas Day attack in the neighborhood in which two blacks were beaten, allegedly by a gang of whites. Now, I'm just curious, what were the white people angry about?
Why don't you call them and ask them?
White people in Bensonhurst. I mean, these people were angry that two people had been attacked in what was obviously a racial attack. I mean, that they practically preluded it with it, saying, this is a racial attack, before they started beating them up. So, why are the white people angry that the black people are angry? Doesn't make sense, does it?
Not to I. But then again, I'm not paid to have sense made.
Well, if it makes sense to any of our listeners, call us up, 632-6901.
Wait a minute. I have one last item here.
Then we'll go to the phone calls, because we're running out of time.
A Philadelphia television station went the whole nine yards in its coverage of yesterday's Mummers Day Parade. Have you ever seen the Mummers?
Mummers Day Parade?
Yeah.
What, these people that just mumble all the time?
No. They march up and down Broad Street. They've got...
Chrysanthemums?
No, mummers. They're all dressed up in fancy costumes and get-ups and stuff, and they have comics go up and down the streets.
What's wrong with them?
None.
Well, can they stop doing this if they want to?
Yeah, they only do it once a year.
I guess it's okay. Yeah. It's sort of like the polar bears, huh?
Yeah, I guess it is. It says here the NBC affiliate Now that would have been
KYW Philadelphia.
Channel 3. That's right.
One of the few stations on the East Coast that still begins with a K. But
that's
go
right.
ahead.
That's right. The NBC affiliate. How come WOR is now WWOR?
Because the people that own WOR got into a lot of trouble and they had to sell it and change the call letters.
Oh, was that a requirement as part of the change of ownership that they had to go to a four-letter character?
Read that story because this person's going to hang up. He's on hold. He's paying for this call.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The NBC affiliate televised the more than 12 hours of colorful marching, depriving local viewers of much of Miami's Orange Bowl win over Oklahoma.
Hmm.
That prompted hundreds of outraged football fans to call and complain to the station, as well as the network, a newspaper, and even the phone company.
The phone company?
That's
what
it
they have
says.
To do with this.
Read that.
Well, it does say the phone company. Even the phone company. Oh, boy. Well, let's go to this phone call. And good evening to you. You are on Brain Damage. Sounds like somebody has that very same machine. Something about Gene Simmons and Kiss breaking up? Did you hear that?
Something about a rock group, yeah.
Rock and roll music. We don't talk about rock and roll music on this radio station. Someone has one of those reverb machines.
An echo. Is he saying echo?
Echo. Say echo. Yeah, he is saying echo. Well, that's interesting. Where are you calling from, sir or ma'am or whatever? Did you hear that? Can you maybe get a little closer to the phone and we'll bring up the volume a little bit? Okay, now where are you calling from?
Rocky Point.
Yes, Rocky Point. That explains everything.
That does. Very close to Shoreham.
Oh, maybe this is a result of Shoreham.
Uh-oh.
Brain damage. Hey, I might be able to use that as a promo. Wow. Well,
how about if we just talk with this guy in the background? That sounds good, huh?
Hey, the brothers are here. The brothers are here. They're coming in at midnight.
Aren't we going to go over the pronunciation guide?
We have to go over the pronunciation guide. Let's go to the next call, though, first. Thanks for calling, Mr. Reverb from Rocky Point.
Goodbye.
Bye. And good evening to you. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. How come I'm on delay or whatever?
Well, that's a secret, but continue. What do you want to say?
Oh, I don't know. I just want to see how you guys are doing. This is Harvey's Bristol Cream Girl.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness.
They never go away, do they?
No, they never do.
Bye.
Bye.
So what are you going to be doing on your show now?
We're going to be hanging up very shortly because we don't have any time left.
We're running out of time tonight, but we're on every week from, I'm on every week from, what do you call it?
You're only on the 2nd, the 4th, the 3rd, and the 1st.
Yeah. Well, unless there's a 5th coming up, we'll be okay for a while.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, that's cool.
Thanks, Howard.
Bye.
She ought to know about 5th. Anyway, let's go over this pronunciation guide here.
Yeah, I got to go to the other room.
You left it in the other room? Knocking down the whole chair.
Chair stuck to me.
Well, while he's gone, let me read you the time. 11:55. Now, there's many ways we can look at that. It's very interesting. 11:55 in the year of 1988. 88 is going to be a great year.
You could turn the clock upside down and it would say 55:11.
That's true. Go ahead. Pronunciation guide. You've got.
I have Fridays. You
I've
have
got Saturdays.
Saturdays. Okay. All right. Let's see how much the pronunciation differs from day to day.
Okay.
Do you have Abseken on yours?
That's the very first one I have. There's two sections, first of all. There's news and there's sports.
Well, let's just do
Abseken, yes. It's pronounced Abseken.
Abseken. Do you know where Abseken is?
I have no idea.
It is in New Jersey. And
are you kidding? I thought it was in Asia or something.
It is the name, I believe, of a reflagged tanker.
Well, now, how about that?
I think. Or it sounds good.
A tanker in New Jersey, did you say?
Renamed for Abseken, I believe, renamed for Abseken Island.
Okay.
Because remember when they renamed a whole bunch of them? They renamed them Bridgeport, but that's Bridgeport, New Jersey, not Connecticut.
How did they know, though?
Just hold on a second.
Hold on. How did they know?
I don't know.
Well, continue. We're running out of time here.
Does yours have Algona?
Algona. Mm-hmm. Now, we got the Russian guy, Mikhail, according to this.
Mikhail.
E-E-L, just like a little animal. Mikhail Gorbachev.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
Chav.
Now, didn't he have an old TV show called Mikhail's Navy?
Let's try to continue here. Mir. M-I-R is pronounced Mir. Now, wait. What is that, Mir, M-I-R?
That is something that you look into and you see your reflection.
No, that's
back.
Not what they're talking
about. You're looking into a mirror.
Mir is something Soviet, but I forget what.
It's a space station.
That's what it is, a space station. Thank you.
How about Miguel Obando y Bravo?
What about Brian Mulroney? You skipped right over him.
I don't have Brian Mulroney.
Oh, I do. Ah. Canadian guy. Brian Mulroney is right there. What do you got?
Miguel Obando y Bravo.
Who's that?
He's down in...
Sound like a tennis player or something.
No, he's not in sports. He's in news.
He's in news. Well, maybe he's a sports person that went
he's
into news.
He's a cardinal. Is he not a cardinal down in Salvador or something?
Oh, okay.
Or
Salvador and cardinal.
Something around. I
didn't know they gave birds names down there.
Obando y Bravo.
I got Humberto Ortega.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Umberto.
Oh. Showing my ignorance.
O-O-M-Bear-to. Umberto. Come on, let's read it together.
Umberto
Ortega.
I'm sure the brothers will understand we're cutting into their time by this important stuff we're saying here.
Mm.
Doña Paz.
Doña Paz.
Doña Paz.
Okay, here's my favorite. Javier Perez de Cuellar.
Yes, and who's that?
Is he not the General Secretary of the United Nations?
That's a mouthful if he is. Yeah, I guess so.
General Secretary Javier Perez de Cuellar.
Jiang Qing. Spelled Q-I-N-G. I don't know why we spell it so weirdly sometimes.
Mm.
Isn't it us spelling it like that?
How about Yitzhak Rabin.
Yuri
Romanenko.
And then we got Rukin, which is spelled L. Rukin.
That's right.
I don't quite understand that.
He must be L. Broken. And, of course, Edvard Shevardnadze. Shevardnadze. Shevardnadze.
Who is
Shevardnadze.
The Russian ambassador? Or
something like that,
yeah. Something like
he's
that.
He's a fellow who meets with Schultz all the time, right?
Yeah, they have lots of fun together. Well, look.
No sports.
Don't have time for that.
Brain damage.
2 hours, brain damage.
Brain damage.
2 hours just went by so quickly. And we had... A lot of fun. And we broke a lot of things, too. But that's what we're here for, you know?
We're here to throw things at one another.
You know, you almost hit me in the head with that.
Well, from the ricochet, not on purpose, of course.
Well, anyway, you've got to go back to Philadelphia. The sooner the better.
That's right, and I hope I get reimbursed for my train fare.
Yeah, and then your phone call is probably still going on right now.
No, I think he hung up, eh?
Yeah, but we may not have hung up. I don't know. But have fun on the flight back. And
that's right. I will be on tomorrow morning's train.
Tomorrow morning's train.
That's right.
If anyone wants to meet Mike,
Eric,
that's a good way to do it.
Yes, I'm going to be the sleepy one.
The crabby one.
That probably too.
On the other hand, though, I will be back next week doing God knows what.
May I call you?
You can call me whatever you want.
May I call you on the air?
Oh, sure, you can call me on the air. Just don't babble for too long.
Okay.
Yeah, because no one likes to hear babbling.
No.
In fact, I'm sure the brothers don't like to hear babbling on their airtime. It's just about 12 o'clock now, so it's time for us to get out of here. Thank you, Eric. Good being with us on this premiere edition of Brain Damage.
Made a collector's item.
Collector's item. If you've taped this, you got some money coming to you.
Not from us, though.
Not from us, but from the people, the
we
collectors of the 21st
after that
century.
Tonight.
Yeah. All right, Mike, have a swell time. We'll see you again sometime.
Thank you for having me up.
WUSB Stony Brook. Stay tuned for The Brothers on 90.1 FM.
Remembering games, days of chains and locks. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonnet faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more.
This is Arnie with the WUSB Concert Billboard for Sunday, January 3rd. Appearing this evening, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers will be at Sweet Basil. Bass Desires featuring Mark Johnson, John Schofield, Bill Frisell, and Peter Erskine will be at Fat Tuesdays. Phyllis Hyman will be at the Blue Note. Steve Baters and the Raunch Hands will be at the Limelight. And the Turtles at the Bottom Line. All of those shows this evening. For tomorrow evening, Gil Evans Orchestra at Sweet Basil and the Les Paul Trio at Fat Tuesdays, the Fousette Dart Band along with Robin Lane and the Chartbusters at the Lone Star. That's all happening tomorrow evening. For Tuesday, January 5th, Cindy Lee Berryhill at the Knitting Factory. Grover Washington will be at the Blue Note and McCoy Tyner at Sweet Basil Tuesday, January 5th. For Wednesday, January 6th, it's Barence Whitfield at Drums, Grover Washington at the Blue Note, Jorma Kalkinen at the Lone Star, McCoy Tyner will be at Sweet Basil, and Steve Baters at the Cat Club Wednesday, January 6th. For Thursday, January 7th, Benny King at Club 2020, Grover Washington at the Blue Note, Jim Carroll, along with Richard Hell, will be at the bottom line. Yorma Kalkonen will be at the Lone Star. Kenny Burrell at Fat Tuesdays. Lasrita Mitsuko, along with Arto Lindsay, will be at drums. The Lone Cowboys and Binky Phillips will be at tramps. And McCoy Tyner will be at Sweet Basil. Those shows Thursday, January 7th. For Friday, January 8th, it's Benny King at Club 2020. Day for Night will be at Sparks. Grover Washington will be at the Blue Note. Kenny Burrell at Fat Tuesdays. McCoy Tyner at Sweet Basil. Soul Asylum in Manitoba's Wild Kingdom at Maxwell. Sun Ra at the Bottom Line. The Tell Gators at the Lone Star. And Urban Blight and the Cucumbers at the Ritz. That's happening Friday, January 8th. For Saturday, January 9th, it's Agnostic Front, Token Entry, Rest in Pieces, and Caligula at Sundance and Bayshore. Benny King at Club 2020. The Crusados, Liars, and Original Sins at the Ritz in Manhattan. Dinosaur Jr. and Killdozer will be at Maxwell's. Grover Washington at the Blue Note. Jamal Adin Takuma at Jazz Track. John Cale, Chris Fetting, and the Silos will be at the Bottom Line. Kenny Burrell at Fat Tuesdays. La Bamba and the Hubcaps and the Vipers at the Lone Star. And McCoy Tyner at Sweet Basil Saturday, January 9th. Some additional shows in January. Culture, January 12th and 13th at SOB's. Holly Beth Vincent, January 12th at the Cat Club. John Renborn, January 13th at the Bottom Line. Warlock, January 13th at the Cat Club. Ben Vaughn Combo, January 15th at Speakeasy. The Feelies, January 15th at the Ritz. OCBISA, January 15th at SOB's. Richard Barone, January 15th at the Bottom Line. They Might Be Giants, January 15th at Maxwell's. Exodus and MOD, January 16th at Showcase. Livingston Taylor, January 16th at the Intermedia Arts Center in Huntington. Paul Deano's Battle Zone and Obsession, January 16th at Sundance in Bayshore. And the International Art of Jazz presents Vince Giordano's Nighthawks, January 17th at the Ethical Humanist Society in Garden City. This has been the Concert Billboard on WUSB Stony Brook for Sunday, January 3rd. Concert Billboard can be heard on the weekends at noon and midnight, weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m. If you missed anything, call us at 632-6901.
Remember, after brain damage comes lobotomy till 2:30.
Except in one thing.